the first timed, organized, official run I ever did was an ultra marathon, I thought about 32 miles. I think I was 70 years old, the first one I ever did like that.
Hi, welcome back to another episode of Streetwise English Podcast. I'll be your host, Carl. I'll be talking to different American friends around the country, and you can join in and listen to interesting conversations about various topics ranging from dating apps to favorite dishes to what's the latest movie we've seen. We'll be talking in a casual manner. Hopefully this will be entertaining for you and also give you a chance to improve your listening and give you some material to listen to as you develop your American English. You can go to our website to find access to the written transcripts at streetwiseenglishpodcast.com. The spelling of the website is in the links below, so be sure to check that out.
Hello.
Hello. How are you doing, Arthur?
Good. What's up?
So our topic today is going to be running, and I know that you are an avid runner, and you've done marathons, you've done ultra marathons, and you've basically been a runner your whole life, right?
In a sense, yes. I've always enjoyed running, and off and on for years. It's been one of my major forms of exercise. I've never run officially in races until the last maybe 3 years, but I've run for exercise, running say 3 to 6 or 8 miles at a time, for many years.
Okay. And just to let the audience know, you're not like a 25-year-old guy, right?
I was a 25-year-old guy about 48 years ago, I think.
Okay, so you're in your 70s and you're still running marathons, right?
Actually, the first timed run I ever ran, by timed I mean official, you know, like something that where you sign up for and pay a fee, I think I was 70 years old. The first one I ever did like that.
Wow.
So yeah, I've lived in China for many years, and I started running regularly there, outdoors, just around the streets, and I was running. I would say a good run was 6 to 8 km. That's about 4 to 5 miles. And I was doing that pretty consistently. And I came back to the States, and my son, Justin, who is an avid runner, at one point, I can't remember. I think maybe the first visit I came back, which was about 3 years ago or 2 years ago, 2019 perhaps. He said, "Dad, I think I'm going to sign us up for an ultra marathon." Now, an ultra marathon is more whatever. A marathon is 26.2 miles, and an ultra is beyond that. And I said, "Justin, you are out of your mind." But that was the first timed, organized, official run I ever did was an ultra marathon. I thought about 32 miles.
How did that turn out?
I only made it to 22 miles that time.
Okay. What happened? Why did you fail?
Well, twice during the run, I caught my toe on rocks. This was not on the street. This was up in the mountains near Big Bear Lake in Southern California. And I caught my toe. I'd fallen before, you know, you stumble or whatever on trail running. But it happened so quick that twice I went down and actually hit my head, my face on the ground. And when I got home, in fact, one of those cuts my son, Justin, had to sew it up. It was on my forehead. So I think that had happened twice. And when I got to weigh station for mile 22, I looked a mess. I was pretty scratched up and blood. But I think psychologically, it was just like, I had never run anywhere near that far. That's more than twice as far as I'd ever run any one time in my entire life. And I think I just, you know, there's a psychological element to running that far. Your brain has to get used to the fact that you're going to keep going. Your brain says, oh, no, you can't do it anymore. You're dead. And that time my brain won at about 22 miles. Now, I will tell you that Justin, my son, being a sadist, said, well, you know, Dad, you can't leave it out there. And I knew exactly what he meant. What he meant was I could not end on failure. He meant I was going to have to do it again. So there was actually, and by the way, I did that run with 6 weeks preparation. I came to the States, was here 6 weeks. Normally for a regular marathon, from what I understand, you train for 3 to 6 months. So I didn't feel too bad, actually. But we found another ultramarathon that wasn't quite as high elevation. So it would be, that was an element that would make it better. But it was 6 weeks later. So
6 weeks after the fall,
6 more weeks of training, he signed us up and we ran one. I forget the name of the mountains. They were on the way from the Inland Empire towards L.A. It's not the Santa Ana Mountains. I forget what they're called. San Gabriel Mountains, maybe somewhere up in there. Anyway, it was a 31-mile ultra, and the second try. Oh, with a lot of cajoling from Justin, we both made it. So that was, after that happened, my brain just realized it would not believe the lie anymore that it couldn't be done. And so after that, running long distance, I don't go fast, but just like 2 days ago, Saturday, I felt like going for a long run and I ran 20 miles. And that was on the streets, though. So now, like, 10 miles is nothing. I don't run fast, but my brain knows that, you're going to punish me. You're going to punish your body. Your body's going to hate you. But, yeah, you can do it. And so there's a major, major psychological component to putting up with the discomfort and the aching and just the time element. So that's a huge, huge thing that I'm sure all longer distance runners, you have to get past that. You have to break through that barrier.
Yeah, I think I read somewhere that a lot of the ultra marathon winners of those races are actually women because they know the pain of going through childbirth or something like that.
That could be. Although Jim Walmsley, I think, is one of the world's greatest. He routinely does 100 milers. I forget the name. There's a couple of very famous ones. And he's run from the north, from one rim of the Grand Canyon to the other rim and back again in just incredible time. I did that a couple. No, I didn't. That's not right. I ran 2 years ago. I ran from one rim to the other. I did not run back. That was a 25-mile rim-to-rim Grand Canyon run.
It sounds like another suicide mission.
Yeah, you know, at first it just, I have to say, Justin is the one, my son is the one who recommended it. He said, Dad, you need to do a run. Okay, here we go again. But last summer, I went back to the canyon. I really like it. It's a beautiful place. And I ran one day from the south rim to the bottom and back up. And then I had to drive around in my car because there was no shuttle because of the pandemic. And then that was on a Monday. On Friday, I ran from the north rim to the bottom and back up.
And you successfully, you managed not to become vulture food.
Yeah. it's pretty safe.
There were warning signs though, weren't there?
About what?
About not trying to attempt to go down to the bottom of the canyon and back up in the same day?
Yeah, on the south side, starting at the South Kaibab Trail, which is not the common one. It's a lesser used one, sort of a back way down, a little bit shorter. But there's a sign right at as the trail begins of a picture of someone bent over puking, warning you of the dangers of running that trail because there's no water from top to bottom. There's water at the start and there's water at the river, but nothing in between. And that's it's not that far, 7 miles maybe. But if it's in the summer, of course, it can be 100 plus degrees at the bottom. Mm-hmm. But on the north, which is, I forget, it's more than 1,000 feet elevation higher than the south. There in the brochure from the North Rim, it says, literally, something, I'm quoting it almost exactly, under no circumstance should anyone attempt to run, to hike, or whatever, to the bottom and back up in one day.
And
that's the one that has the real...
And we're
the
talking
red flag. Do not do this.
And just in case people didn't hear, you're talking about the world famous Grand Canyon, right?
Yes, the Grand Canyon in Arizona.
Okay.
It's more than a mile deep. I think it's something like 6,000 feet at the top on the south rim, and you go down to. Oh, gee, I forget the bottom. About a mile drop. And then the north side of that canyon is 8,200 feet elevation, as I recall. Yes, gorgeous. Absolutely gorgeous. I highly recommend it, but I don't recommend anyone to run it unless you are a little bit crazy and you have run some long distances already.
Yeah, normal, sane people park their car or the bus in the parking lot, walk out about 20 feet, and snap a bunch of pictures, right? On the edge of the northern rim, right? Or I guess either north or south.
Well, the most popular rim is the south. It's the most scenic.
Okay.
It's the easiest to get to. And it's the one, almost all the pictures you see in books advertising are taken from the south rim. Yeah, even people like in really good shape, very, very few people run from the bottom to the top or run across. By the way, to run across is about 25 miles from the north rim to the south rim, which is what you do. Lots of people hike, lots of backpackers, but you know, they will spend a couple of days getting to the bottom, and they'll hike around, and they'll hike back out with a couple more days. So top to bottom and back up might be a 4 to 5 day beautiful hiking experience.
And what was the time duration from when you ran down and then back up in the same day? How many hours are we talking about?
Oh man, I think the south. Oh, from when I ran from rim to rim, from north rim to the river and up the south rim, that was 2 years ago. I think that was an 8 hour. Yeah, I think I started around. I think I started 5 and got up about 3. Got out about 3. When I went from the north rim to the bottom and back up, That was longer. I'm trying to think, five to, that was probably at least 10 or 11 hours. So you're going to be running for quite some time.
So you're almost sunrise to sunset then?
Yeah, you take off. Now, if you go rim to rim, I started at sunrise. Just that was 2 years ago. I did it in November. And I think I started, sunrise was about 7 o'clock. And I got out on the other side around 3. Top to bottom and back up on the north was, I started well before sunrise. I was running with a headlamp. And probably it was an hour before there was light. So, but that's a run that no one does. I mean, that's the one they say don't, under no circumstances, do it.
Yeah. Okay. And then let's wrap this up here. But one last thing, for those people that are able-bodied and out of shape and that are not running, do you have any advice for them on how to get started?
Yeah, you get started by doing it. And you want to make sure you have, don't scrimp on your shoes, pay good money. Buy really good running shoes because they're going to give you cushion. They're going to give you support. It's a pretty technical business. But buy really good shoes. Buy really good shoes. They're going to cost you at least, I mean, they're going to cost right around $100, maybe a little bit more. Sometimes on sale a little less. But anyway, so that's number one. You have to have great footwear.
What's your preferred shoe right now that you run in?
I think my street running shoes are New Balance.
Okay.
I found a brand, Merrill, M-E-R-I-L-L maybe, that I use for trail running. Because they fit my foot just perfectly. But over the years, I've run with Asics Gel, a New Balance. I've had some Nikes. I just go into a shoe store and put them on, and you can walk around and you can see which ones, they can all feel comfortable, but some you'll notice, whoa, these just feel like a glove. It doesn't rub my toes. It just fits just right. And that's just totally subjective. You can't say it's going to be this brand or that brand. Any of the top brands.
So you just buy a really nice, expensive pair of shoes and then you leave them in the box in your closet or what?
Nope. Then if you're absolutely in no shape to run, but your body is healthy, if that makes sense, start by just walking. Walk and set, you can set any point, whatever you can do comfortably. If you can walk for 30 minutes, start with walking for 30 minutes. If you can jog a little bit, jog for 10 minutes, 15 minutes. And then you just gradually go from jogging for 15 minutes to 25 to 30 minutes, and you stay there. When you can run for 30 minutes, run out 15 and back 15, that's good. That's 30 minutes. And then it's better to go by time at first, but you can measure. You can run a half mile. If you run a half mile in 10 minutes, that's great, and you listen to your body. If if something rubs the wrong way, you tape it up when you get back. You might end up eating some ibuprofen here and there, and just gradually build up. Just like anything else, when you do it, your body responds to it, and when you'll get to where you can run a mile. If you've been no runner, a lot of people can run a mile. I always found getting past 3 miles was the biggest barrier. Like I could get to 2 miles, but 3 miles seemed like, wow, that's a long distance. But once I got to 3, it was not that difficult to get to 5. So, and that takes time. That's going to take you a few weeks, a few months. But you just have to stay with it and just be disciplined enough, put up with some pain, put up with some discomfort, and have a goal and don't try to do too much at once. Take your time, just gradually extend your distance, and you will, after 3 months, 4 months, you will just be really amazed at how comfortable you have become running if you were not comfortable to begin with.
So maybe twice a week or something?
At least twice a week. I would recommend 3 times a week. 5 times a week is fine if you're really gung-ho and you get into it. But three times a week is great. 2 is okay. 1 is not enough.
Okay. Okay. All right. Well, I think that's pretty good. It's been about a 20-minute session. So thanks for sharing your expertise in running. And we'll do another interview with you soon, because as I've seen, it seems that your running is part of your fountain of youth, I would say.
Well, yeah, I run. It does make me feel better. And I love looking at other people my age and thinking, man, those people look old, act old, and I'm glad I'm not like them. So, yeah, happy trails, man.
Okay. All right. Thanks a lot. I'm going to hang out.
Bye-bye.
Talk to you. Bye.
You can go to our website to find access to the written transcripts at streetwiseenglishpodcast.com. And the E is shared between the wise and the English, streetwiseenglishpodcast.com. We hope to see you again soon. Join us for many episodes of real conversations between American friends, just shooting the breeze. Thanks again.